I like to open sometimes when I'm doing a service with the very familiar phrase that says, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made." And hopefully we are doing what? Rejoicing and being glad in it. Rejoicing and being glad in it. So it was so wonderful to hear the choir said, you know, let my life be a praise, you know, to give thanks and gratitude. So we are acknowledging that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're being glad in it. We are rejoicing. And speaking of rejoicing, we had a wonderful opportunity for our very first ever dance party. We had a dance party this past Friday. And I must say that it was a lot of fun. It was a fun evening. We had a good turnout. People came out to, you know, get their groove on and to do their thing. And so I'm just thankful. It was Patricia Williams. I don't know if Patricia's here, but we want to give her some gratitude for the idea. She said, we just need to come together and have some fun and rejoice and celebrate with each other. So fine. She wanted to have a dance party. And so it was a really good experience. And I also have to give, of course, a special shout out to our very own, we claim our very own DJ Lady Smooth, who I see over there, Roberta Pons. Thank you for bringing the music to us and helping us to learn the new line dances. You know, I was telling Stephanie that we were laughing because I always say I only get to go out dancing once a year. And that's usually at our volunteer dinner when Miss Lady DJ is playing and we have food and, you know, I get my dance on. So I feel so blessed because I've been dancing twice now for this year because I'm going to dance at the volunteer dinner. But it was a great opportunity for us to really just come together. That was the idea, for us to come together, to gather together, to fellowship through fun, right? Dancing, good music, to fellowship, to come together. There's something very powerful about being able to fellowship with one another. I was looking on AI. I've been having a lot of fun just checking AI out and just giving different topics. And this is what AI had to say about fellowship. Fellowship enriches life in a number of ways, providing a sense of community, shared purpose, and support. Whether through formal groups or informal gatherings, the benefits of fellowship can lead to a more fulfilling and connected life. And then it goes on to talk about the different benefits, and the one I love was the health benefit, which is engaging in fellowship can have a positive impact on our mental and physical health. Social connections are linked to lower stress levels, improved mood, and even longevity. And we know that this is true, right? That when we connect with each other and we do it in a positive way, a healthy way, that there's something that adds to the joy of our living and our sense of community and belonging and purpose and connectedness. So I'm just grateful that we took that opportunity because we need an opportunity to exhale. Don't you feel that you need to sometimes just exhale? There's a lot going on in the world right now. There's a lot of energy. Well, energy is always prevalent, but there's a lot of energy that is swirling around that can actually deplete us if we're not careful. Move us into a sense of disconnection, anxiety. There's just some stuff out there energetically. And because we are light bearers, because we are empaths, we can feel, we know, we connect, that sometimes having all of that energy come at you, we need healthy ways to release it, healthy ways to de-stress and to allow ourselves to balance and to adjust and to realign ourselves, right? Maybe even transform our energy and our perspectives into something that's useful and helpful and healing. So we're always looking how can, because we know when we're out of balance. Don't you know when you're out of balance? You know when you're out of sorts. You know when you're out of balance. Your life begins to reflect that sometimes, that nothing's working right. You got a lot of confusion around you. No. When I'm in that state, I said, wait a minute, something is out of balance. I'm out of alignment. And I need to then bring myself back into that place of connection and peace and balance and harmony, so I can begin to express and live my best life. You know, so much has changed. So much has changed before, during, and since the pandemic about the way we interact with each other. Our communication, our interactions have been vastly changed. We know how we were before. Sometimes people say, was that, you know, BC before COVID or after COVID, because things have changed so much. And at one point in the midst of that, isolation was necessary in order for you to make sure that you were going to survive and be well at the early stages. And so isolation became our way of making sure that we would have a long life. And so we distance ourselves from each other and from our family and friends, and went into this state of isolation for survival. But I've noticed that not only the pandemic, a little bit of this whole concept of isolating and disconnecting has been going on, especially through the onset of the digital world becoming, you know, a prominent way in which people communicate. You know, we have these little devices here that rule our lives. You know, God forbid we forget our phone or our laptop or our iPad or whatever. But we the digital world, the social media world, you know, it served a great purpose, and it does serve a wonderful purpose in that it enables us to connect. It enabled us to come together when we weren't able to. I remember I did a couple of funerals during the pandemic, and I did one where the young lady who was in Hawaii and her father had passed, but she wasn't going to be able to make it, period. But the fact that we could do his service on Zoom was a great blessing for her because she could attend. So there were some great things that were happening. And the social media, the digital world, it's designed to try to bring us together in wonderful opportunities. However, if we are not careful, those mediums, the digital world, the social media world, the internet, can also have a limiting and negative effect on our humanity, on our ability to really interact and commune with each other. You know, there's something when I'm here, I could look at your faces on a screen, which is okay. But there's something that happens when I can look into your eyes and I can feel your presence and you can feel mine. There's an energy that we begin to establish here. There's a field, a resonance of spirit that we're starting to connect with each other on by being in one another's presence. And so if we are not careful, spending so much time being disconnected or on a screen or through other means, it can actually give us a false sense of connection, right? Because we think that without making real human connection. I'm thinking about, you know, people who have millions of followers. Now the big thing is how many followers can you get on Instagram or Facebook or whatever your page is, how many followers and how many friends you can have and acquire on social media. And people are always, they have their podcasts and they're trying, we're going to get to 500, a million subscribers and a million friends. And yet people are trying to do that, but yet they're still lonely. Still lonely, still isolated and disconnected, but they got a million friends, a million followers on Facebook or whatever the medium is. I'm noticing that, you know, with our young people especially, and I can't even put it on them because I fall into that category too, but we'd rather text now than talk. Because it's easy, right? I don't have to hear what you, I get to say what I want to say, and I really don't have to listen to what you have to say unless I want to read your text. So we'd rather text than talk. You know, I used to laugh because my nephew, you know, I would call him and, you know, I'd call to him and he wouldn't answer. The moment I sent a text, "What's up, Aunt Sylvia?" And I'm like, wow. That's his mode of communication. He'd rather, and I get that, you know. But we have to watch out because some things also, you know, we would rather sort of look at a screen rather than look at a person. I laugh sometimes because I know that there are some people who are right here, and I'm in the flesh, but they're looking at the screen because we're conditioned that way, right? Maybe we'd rather stay home and experience church via live stream, right? Rather than through a real, true live stream. We are live streaming right now. Not only are we live streaming out there to you, but we are live streaming right now. There's an energy that is being put forth, right? You can give yourselves a hand because that's what it's about. We are streaming the energy of our beingness, of our presence. And you can't tell me that presence can't be felt. Because when I've been in the presence of some people, and I could, without saying a word, but I could feel the vibration of their essence. Have you ever had good friends where you didn't have to sit down and talk, but just being in one another's presence and company, you could feel a connection, an energy, right? And so we have to look at, well, what happens when we allow ourselves to really disconnect? It's good. I'm not saying it's not good to have the modern day inventions of social media and connections, right? But because it does, it's useful. You know, we used to travel in person when I served on the board of UWM, Unity Worldwide Ministries. And we started during the pandemic, we would meet, and everybody lives in different states. And it was great that we could still have our board meetings. But then after a while, we said, you know what? We're missing the real connection. We're doing the work, but we're missing the connection of going to dinner or lunch, you know, as a board, sitting down, fellowshipping, connecting. It made our work easier than when we're just doing it on screen. And so, you know, there's benefit because we were able to travel and travel via the internet, but not lose a sense of not being able to conduct our board meetings or our business. But again, we have to be careful that we don't lose our humanity. And lose our humanity and the ability to have real and deep interactions and connections. We don't want to lose our ability to feel one another. To feel one another, right? To be up close and to be personal with each other. You know, communication. I taught communication in the ministerial school, but a lot of our communication isn't verbal. A lot of our communication comes through what? Nonverbal cues. When we're talking, we're reading the person's eyes. We're looking into their eyes. We're reading their body language. We're reading, you know, what's happening, the energy that's coming forth. In essence, trying to read the room, trying to read the energy that the person's putting forth without even saying a word. And much of that happens just very unconsciously and very quickly. We're looking for cues in the faces that when we speak, are they receiving it? Do they get it or not get it? All of this is taking place in a nonverbal way, but a very important way. So, you know, it's easy for us to say, I need to be able to read the room. When I'm here, I'm reading the energy. I can feel your energy. And I can feel when you're with me, and I can feel when maybe something I said was over the head or out the window or didn't connect or whatever. I feel that. And I also say I can feel when you're giving me energy and I can give you back energy. It bolsters me up, right? And so it's great if I learned during the pandemic to be able to just speak to the camera, just speak, and then I imagine the people out there, and energy travels. I recognize that, but it's vastly different when I'm in the presence of human beings, of all of you. So we know that spirituality is everything, but it has to move through our humanity. And we have to keep the vibration of humanity open, you know, open and alive, because, you know, we can connect, we can create so much. We can create a world that works for all. That's what Unity likes to say. And we're creating a world that works for all. But we can also create a world of confusion. We can create a world of separation, of disconnection, right? Of suffering. When we lose our humanity, that's what we're going to create. A world of cruelty, a world of othering, a world where we can actually say, well, you know what? We can dehumanize people because they're not like us. They're not connected to us. They're not us, right? And so we begin to other, and we begin to say, well, we are more superior, and those people are, you know, poisoning the blood of our country, of our nation. You see, we begin to dehumanize, because if you can dehumanize, then you can get rid of and you can set yourself up. It's a dangerous path of losing one's humanity as a nation and as a country. I read an article that was titled Losing Our Humanity the Easy Way. Losing Our Humanity the Easy Way. And the author asks and writes this one question. He writes, what's scarier to you, noise or silence? Now, there was a reason for him asking that question. He goes on to say that Fahrenheit 451, that was a book, it is a dystopian novel written by Ray Bradbury in the 1950s about a society that was filled not with silence, but with noise. And then he says, earbuds in the ears or screens in front of the faces. Now, in 1950, did we have earbuds? Did we have screens in front of our faces? But he writes about this. It reminded me of the same book. What was it? Aldous Huxley's book. Was it 1984. The same thing. If you go back and you read these books, you will begin to shudder because we are living it right now. So he says, it's about Fahrenheit 451. It's about a society that is filled not with silence, but with noise. Earbuds in the ears, and screens in front of the face. He said that's how everyone, or almost everyone in the book, lived. Little personal reflection. Few deep relationships or discussions. Certainly no books, which were banned in that book. And I'm saying, well, we didn't ban, burned, he said, which were burned. Well, we haven't succumbed to burning them, but banning them is just as bad in my book. All right? So we're now burning and banning books. He said the goal was to feel good and to go along with the crowd. To feel good and go along with the crowd. So he says, with noise, we don't question. We don't read. We don't think. And I thought, wow, this is truly life imitating art. Researchers have really discovered that our brains are actually changing. Our brains change when we have a lot of screen time, whether it's computer or your phone or whatever. And they're discovering that children, of course, have lower levels of an attention span and less verbal abilities. Less ability to interact in real life with real situations. Mental illness amongst young people is increasing, as well as suicide, because they don't know how to cope and interact, not only with the world, but with the people around them. And so they're feeling what? Isolated, disconnected. Not able to, and you know what it was like when you were a teenager. You had a whole bunch of stuff going on. Hormones were just moving and rattling, and you weren't sure what was up and what was down. You're trying to find yourself, but there was no, if there's no one to connect to, no one to express to, there's that isolation. And it's a very real and serious challenge for our nation and for our world, our young people not knowing how to connect. And we can lose our abilities. I had a function that I went to as a part of my class. I belong to a Leadership Greater Washington class, and we had a 10th anniversary, and I wasn't going to go, but I thought, you know what, no, let me go, because I said I need to make sure that I get out, because I had been for the last few months focused on myself, focused on my healing. Sometimes I wasn't able to get up and move about. I wasn't feeling well or whatever. And I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, you know, and get my energy back out there. And then I realized I had to share and say, you know what? I usually don't like those particular things and functions because it's a lot of chit-chat. And I'm not good at chit-chat. I don't like the superficial, how's the weather, what you're doing, you know. But I said, no, Sylvia. Allow yourself to practice again being interested. You don't have to make it chit-chat, but can you find that curiosity of being interested in another soul? Finding out, well, what are they doing? You know? And so I made myself, you know, go, and I had a good time. I still realize that that's not my favorite thing to do. I'd rather sit down and have a conversation with people I know about deep things or whatever, about the world or whatever, but the chit-chat, I have to get accustomed to that still. But what I recognize, it was good for me to get out of myself. And I said, you have to engage again. You have to interact again. It would be good for me to stay in the bed and I could contemplate woe is me and all of that stuff. But what was that going to do for me? It wasn't bringing healing energy. I needed to get back into life, get back into doing what I need to do. And so they're finding that, you know, the young people or people in general are thinking less and connecting less, not connecting in meaningful ways with others, our ability. So your coming here is so vital and so important. Being with like-minded people is very, very important. We need one another, friends, especially during this time. You know, as light bearers, we're doing a great work, but it can get heavy at times, right? Because especially, I'm like, what in the world is this craziness, this upside down world? I'm like, I don't get it. It's like, wow. And so we need each other to support each other, lift each other up, remind each other that we're still sane. It's a crazy world, but we're okay. You know, it's important to have relationships with each other, to be close to one another. Because we're social creatures. That's how we were created. We weren't created to be alone and isolated. We were created to be together, to be in community. That's our basic nature, and that is what helped us to survive back in the ancient days when the dinosaurs were roaming and whatever. If you were out by yourself, you were in trouble. You needed your pack. You needed your tribe. You needed people around you for the sustaining of your life. And so we need each other not just to survive, but we need each other to be able to thrive. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to merely survive. I'm at a place now where I want to thrive. I want to thrive. Now, a sure way for us to be able to thrive in life is really understanding or having an understanding and the experience of what I call divine connections. That's what's going to help us to thrive. And divine connections, there are three major categories in which we want to be divinely connected. You want to have a divine connection with yourself. It's very important. Having a divine connection with others, extremely important. And last but not least, of course, and it's actually first, but we'll get to that, having a divine connection with what? God. Those three things are extremely important. Now, you would think that the easiest connection to have is the one that you can make with yourself. However, as noted, we are often so distracted, right, that we rarely take the time or spend the time doing any kind of self-reflection or assessing well, what is going on in my life at this point? What is it that I am feeling in myself? A lot of times we're so busy that we're not in tune with our feelings or our thoughts. We are in reaction mode. We're just doing life. This happens, I react. This occurs, I react. I have got this thing, I go to the meeting, I do all that. And then you look up and what's happening with your life? You're feeling disconnected once again. You get, you know, you're in lots of groups on doing things, lots of boards, but you're not really functioning as yourself, being your authentic self. You're just in reaction mode. You're into trigger and response mode. You're into compulsion versus conscious choice. Most of the time, we're compulsively acting, not consciously choosing and acting. And so our life is feeling like we're frittering it away because we're not engaged. We're not present. We're not there. So you got to spend time with yourself. There are people who are afraid to spend time with themselves, being alone. They have to fill up every minute of their lives doing something or being out or whatever. But being still and being with oneself is not comfortable. But you should be the best person you want to be around, right? Is yourself, because wherever you go, there you are. You can't get rid of it. This thing keeps following me. So spending time with yourself, getting to know who you are. Who you are. Do you notice that when people kind of ask, well, who you are, we tell them what we do, right? Well, who are you? Well, I'm a doctor at the so-and-so place. So who are you? Well, I'm Reverend Sylvia, the minister of that. Well, who are you? Well, I'm, no. Who are you? And we are not in touch with the beingness of who we are. We are much more in touch with the doingness of who we are, but not the beingness. So find that, spend time with yourself so you can figure out who you are and who it is you want to be. Who do you want to be? And spending time understanding, well, what will it take for you to get to be who you want to be? What is it that you need to do? Spending time with yourself, being still. Can you hear God speaking to you? See, the divine is always speaking. Always. But we don't hear because we've got that mind chatter going on constantly. We're always focused out here and we don't hear. What is your life trying to show you right now? Everything in your life is trying to show you something. Every experience you have is trying to teach you something, trying to show you something, right? So what is your life right now trying to show you, tell you, teach you, right? Direct you. Where are your places of growth, your growing edges? Do you know where your growing edges are? Are you stuck? Maybe you're stuck in a box and don't realize that you need to go to the edge of your life and step in. Get out of the box. Oh, I need to grow here. That's why I said, oh, wait, you want to stay here home in the bed. You don't want to do the chit-chat. Go to your little class reunion and engage. It was much more easy if I could just stay home. But no, I'll engage. That was a growing edge for me. Let me move to my growing edges and let me step in. You know, the whole thing is, are you stepping into your life or are you just, you know, existing? So this is what we want to understand. What is it that makes you happy? What brings you happiness? Do you know what really brings you happiness? You want to be happy. But how often are we really in touch with what makes us happy? What makes us happy? What is it that's standing in the way of our peace? What disturbs my peace? And when I'm out of sorts and out of alignment, what is it that brings me back into alignment? Do you know what brings you back into alignment when you're out of sorts? Or do you have a plan? Do you have a way to get yourself back on track? Or do you flounder and hope that it just passes? And it will, but why not have it pass more consciously? So what is it, you see? So without establishing a divine connection with yourself, with yourself, then every other connection that you have is going to be lacking. And you know why? It's because you're not really authentic. You're not really authentic with being who you are, with showing up as it is. So when I got up, I said, you know, everybody kept saying, well, you know, because when I speak, there's a lot of energy that moves through my being. Some call it the Holy Spirit. But I get very hot and warm. And when I wear a hat, it's even worse. And so I get a little dizzy and weak, whatever. So I said, I just got to take the hat off. Now, when I go outside, I'm cold. I got to put the hat on. So I said, today, I'm just going to come and be my authentic self. You know, my hair is growing. You know. And so it's growing, but it is what it is, right? It is what it is. And so I could either stand up here and wear a hat and faint because I'm overheated, but my pride can, you know, or I could just say, you know what, here it is, folks. Here I am. And then I had to laugh. The moment I came out, my mother said, you're going to come out without your hat? Where's your hat? She was concerned about the hat. So that's going to happen, right? And it's because she's not used to it, and I'm not used to it either. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I wasn't saying it for that reason, but for me it was just stepping into how can I be authentic if I'm not willing to just share and be transparent with where I am in my life and what's happening in my life and letting it be okay. So, you know, that's my growing edge. And I said, this is a growing edge. I'm going to step into it today and it's okay. Because otherwise, if I can't be authentic with me and have a healthy, honest relationship with myself, I can't have one with you. It's not the way it works. So we got to start with self, making that divine connection with yourself. And when you start with self, then you're able to begin to have deep and rewarding connections with others, right? To be able to then reach out and to find those way of those relationships where there's mutual understanding and respect. And, you know, you know that you can be in a relationship where you're not, it's honest and you're not fearful of judgments and you can be vulnerable, you know. Having true friends or friendship is really a rare thing. Most of us have superficial relationships. But having those people that you can just be yourself, your total honest self, warts and alls, because nobody's perfect. Everybody's got some flaws. But when you find an individual or soul that you can connect with, that you feel that you can be vulnerable with and you can share without, you know, that you're not going to be judged or put down, but you can have an honest relationship, an honest discussion, that's a beautiful thing. So when we get honest and have a good relationship with ourselves, then we can begin to express that and have good relationships with others. Because there's a power that happens when you can really connect with another soul. When you do that, your energy then can grow and it can expand and exponentially when you're able to connect with others. You're able to tap into a force that's greater than just your own. Some people call it the collective, you know, or this wonderful group energy that happens. But Jesus put it this way. He said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, in my nature, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or more are gathered together in my nature, there am I in the midst of them. There's something powerful about gathering together. And there's something powerful about gathering with just one other soul. It could be God and I, you and I. There's a powerful essence. In mathematics, I went to AI and I said, let me look up the power of two. Because we're very focused on the power of one. Yes, there's a sense of oneness. But what about the power of two? And it says in mathematics, the power of two refers to exponential growth. There's something that happens when you link up with another soul, right? Refers to exponential growth. This concept illustrates how small changes can lead to significant outcomes, much like how two individuals can create a larger impact together. When we come together, the vibration that we can create is much stronger than when we are just by ourselves. There's power in the truth. Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20 says this. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I read it again. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So this is the power of two. When two people come together and they agree, it's called touching and what? Touching and agreeing. That's the biblical thing. You know, sometimes when you're praying, you want to have somebody who can touch and agree with you, or agree and touch, because there's a power that happens that you begin to grow. And if you can get on the same vibration, if you can get on the same thought level with another person, then the odds of the manifestation that you're desiring, the prayer, the request that you're having, it's exponential. It grows. The odds are increased automatically when you come together with another soul and you touch and agree. This is why it's powerful to have prayer partners, right? It's a prayer partner you want. And I know some of you have prayer partners that you've had, you know, for a long, long time. But find a good prayer partner, one who you know can hold you the highest vibration for you. Find somebody that you can touch and agree with, that you can say yes, or somebody who can affirm a yes to your words and to your vibration, somebody who can match your vibration with a yes. That's what we're looking for. Right? I want somebody who can match my vibration with a yes, and I can do the same for them. There's something powerful when you come together and you can say yes, you can agree. I wanted to do an experiment. I want all of you to think of a prayer that you have that you're holding for yourself. Just take a time, and a short one. Don't go into a long, lengthy. We don't have a whole hour. But find something that you are affirming for yourself. Just take a minute and get that into your consciousness. Now I want each of us, because if we believe that God can answer everyone's prayer and that whatever they are praying is possible, then let's just hold the prayer, but let us affirm yes. Let me hear you say over yes. Together, yes, yes. Yes. Come on, keep it going. Yes. 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 Feel it. Yes. Yes. Hold your prayer. Yes. 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 See, that there's power in that yes. There's also power in no. But when you can feel that yes, and you are asking someone to pray with you, don't ask everybody that you don't think is going to be able to hold that yes for you, to hold that vibration for you. But when they do, Rev Bev this morning, she just came up and she said, has anybody prayed with you? No, I didn't ask. I usually pray before I come out. And I said, well, I prayed with myself. And she said, no, let's pray. So we went out and we just prayed. And the moment she began to pray, and you know what I began saying? Yes. Yes. Every word that was uttering, because it was words of truth, and I wanted to what? Affirm it for myself. I wanted it to match that vibration for myself. So I was, yes, 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 yes. There's power in that. And what that does, when I can pray for someone and give a yes for them, we increase our ability. We then become a force for good in the world. When you can hook up with somebody else and you're holding that same vibration, this is why it's so powerful when we come together as a collective and we speak a word and we hold it. We hold it for the world. We hold it for our families. We hold it for our friends. It's very, very powerful. Shifts happen. Things have to move. Where two or more gathered together in my name, in my nature, there am I in the midst of them. And when God is in the midst of something, woo, you know that it's being mixed up. It's being hand shaken up. All the stuff that's been crystallized is being broken up so that the truth and the blessings can crack forth and break through and come forth. Yes, yes. So find someone who you can say a hearty yes with, who you can pray with in the affirmative, right? This is it, because when you're able to do that, you create what's called vibrational resonance. I went to AI and I said, let me look up vibrational resonance. I'm having so much fun with my little AI chat. But anyway, it says vibrational resonance refers to the phenomenon of two or more entities, such as people, objects, or systems, vibrate at the same frequency or harmonize with each other. This concept is rooted in the idea that everything in the universe has a vibrational frequency, and these frequencies can interact in various ways. And here are some of the aspects of vibrational resonance. Every person, object, or even thought emits a unique vibrational frequency. These frequencies can be influenced by emotions, thoughts, and experiences, creating a dynamic interplay between individuals and their environments. Then there's harmonious relationships. When people resonate at a similar frequency, they often experience harmonious relationships, right? So when you're vibrating at a certain frequency, a high frequency, love, peace, light, joy, or the fruit of the spirit, you're going to attract that to you. That's the vibration you're putting out, and all of a sudden you're going to find people that will match that vibration and come. That's why we come together of like-minded souls. We found each other because we're vibrating in a similar way. We're holding similar values, similar principles, right? We're doing the similar work. So it says harmonious relationships. This can manifest as mutual understanding, empathy, and a sense of connection. Such individuals may find it easier to connect and communicate. Then we have emotional influences that we can have with when you're vibrating at a certain level. You then can support each other. It says being around high vibrational individuals can uplift your mood and your energy. When you're down, get around some people that are up. And get around more than one so that you don't bring their level. That you could either try to bring them down or they could bring you up if you're open to that, right? So they can lift your mood. You come here on Sundays, I'm hoping that you leave here feeling empowered, feeling lighter, feeling blessed, feeling encouraged, right? You don't come here for me to tell you you're a terrible person, a sinner, the worm of the dust, and leave here saying, ugh. You want to leave here knowing that, you know, God is good. Your life is good. All things are possible. I don't care what's happening. I can overcome it. I can move through it. You want that vibration. And that's what we can offer each other when we come together with vibrational resonance. And it says awareness and intuition. I like this. Being attuned to vibrational resonance can enhance your intuition and awareness of others' emotional states. You know, because you're vibrating on a higher level, you're going to get your intuition is peaked. Your ability to be open and receptive to higher things is peaked, right? And so you can promote intuition through that way. You find yourself sensing the energy of a room and picking up on unspoken feelings and social interactions. And that's really good because you need to know when to get out of Dodge. Right? Because that's good. Sometimes you can go, you can just say, well, you know what? This vibration, this ain't for me right now. Mama needs to get up and just, I bless you, but I need to go. Vibrational resonance. Being able to read the room and read the vibration is very important. Personal growth, of course, raises your vibrational energy. Spiritual connection happens. So the conclusion, it says, is vibrational resonance highlights the interconnectedness of all beings and the energy dynamics at play in our relationships and our interactions. By cultivating awareness of your own vibrational frequency and seeking harmonious connections with others, you can enhance your overall well-being and foster deeper, more meaningful relationships. So we have a powerful happening when we allow ourselves to connect, and we're doing a great work here. I always say that we're being a beacon of light. As light bearers, we are doing a great work. We are putting it not out just for ourselves, but for this world. And the world needs us right now. This nation needs us right now. Don't get discouraged. Don't be down. Don't get sucked into the lower vibration of all this, oh my God, because it's easy to do. But we come together to bolster each other up. Let's get back. Put me back in there, coach. It's time. Let's get back in there. Let's continue to do this high and wonderful work. And once you're doing that, then, of course, you make the connection with the ultimate divine connection is with God. And we start there. I got to it last, but that's where you start. Making a conscious connection with God. A conscious connection, often and consistently. So, you know, especially during these times, if you want to raise your vibration, then you need to make this connection that you have that is at your fingertips. God is always present. Making that conscious connection to be present to God. What will happen is all of a sudden, you will begin to be guided from on high. A lot of times our stress comes from being confused about decisions we have and this and that. And we're trying to work it all out. Make a conscious connection. Begin to rest in the presence of God. And you will be guided from on high. That makes things easier for you. It's clearer. You'll hear the voice even say, walk this way. Do this thing. Pull back here. Go here. Yes. No. Oh, it's very simple. Because the universe, God, whatever you want to say, is always guiding and leading and directing us. But we have to be able to hear. We have to be able to connect to that presence and to that power. So when we do that, then our lives begin to unfold. You can bring healing energy into the body. You know, you can bring that vibration by spending time meditating on light. You can bring a sense of peace into your body and mind and heart. When all there's so much confusion, you can stop and you can just gather and rest in peace. You can have hope. You can have faith. You can have all these things knowing that everything is going to be well. When it's confusing out here, you go within and touch the presence of the divine within you. And I'm telling you, when we practice that, our entire lives can change, all for the better. Can change all for the better, because God is the ultimate source of all that is. There really isn't anything else to seek. Seek that first and everything else. What seek ye? The kingdom of God and all things. Everything else will be what? Added unto you. Start with the presence of God, making that connection consciously. That's the way we'll get on track. That's the way we will become true light bearers. Steady, strong. And this is the thing, when we have our moments of weakness, when we have our moments of forgetfulness, if you're with like-minded people, somebody's going to remind you of the truth, right? When I get down, I have people that would say, nope. They let me have my humanity, because I am human. So they'll let me have my humanity for a moment. I might even be able to have a little pity party or something, but it can't be for long. They're going to move me and remind me of who I am until I get back to myself and I get back to God. And then I'm strengthened in my spirit to go, all right, put me in again, coach. Let's go. I got this. I got this because I'm connected to you. And that's what we're here to do. Make these connections, divine connections with self, with others, and most importantly, with God. So go within, connect, and then reflect, radiate, give, offer light unto the world, because you are the light of the world, right? And a city that is set upon a hill cannot be denied. We're here to share our light with everybody. So we have to make those divine connections. And I'm just thinking, it's go time. It's go time, friends. We're in some serious times, but we are up for the challenge. Are you up for the challenge? I don't know. But are you up for the challenge? Yes.